the following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
That's a f***ing crock of shit. Sorry for my language.
That's all right. Do you want to reword that?
All right. I think it's a waste of money.
Frank Cotolo. He just talks and 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 talks and
talks. Okay, here we go.
Listening to Frank Cotolo.
Are you listening? Are you?
That's Cotolo over there. You know what I mean?
Should know by now. But you. Drone of the Summer fan to the evening moonlight of the haze. It's me, the third man, Godfather Internet Radio Bar to Broadcasting. It's me.
Hello.
going into the depths of this evening or this afternoon or whenever the hell you're listening, because it's Y2K plus 17 and it's summer time. So I'm here with all my thoughts and everything I ever brought to life with me now. Stay with us. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. And the bordellos must be hot tonight out there in the urban streets. Urban streets with the country streets? No, the urban streets. And the humidity is just seeping through those red brick and mortar buildings in those horrible places where, oh my God, why do I do it? Why do I bring back those memories and sing those songs as if where I originated was some kind of a Mecca. No Mecca. It was Meccaless. Believe me, Meccaless. I think I've talked about that many, many times. May talk about it again tonight. And we will bring it up because we're going to talk about what goes on in your head and Coney Island, which represents should go on in your head. I don't know anymore. I don't know. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. And every week it gets, I don't know, stop myself there. And or stop myself mid-sentence. I don't know how it gets. I just know that it's different than it was many, many years ago. And I can't get, as the expression goes, my head around it being that many years ago. Why don't I feel it? Why am I going to talk about summer days on the beach, grabbing for whatever happiness life seems to have for me, not for other people, but for me, because it's always a unique direction. I'm sorry, a unique destination. Isn't it really good? And a unique direction to get there. And I've done a lot of shows about how horrible, 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 disgusting, horrible, hideous is the hot summer days, only to find out they ain't no different in the East and in many places in the world when you're talking about the summer, you know? It is different in certain places and places, and I know why I long for those places this time of year. You're listening to this, and it's a repeat sometime in the winter, and I hope you get the... wait a second. If you're listening, over there in down under in the Western Hemisphere. That's the Western Hemisphere, isn't it? The Southern Hemisphere. Whew, wow. The Southern Hemisphere, where it's winter, but... You know, do you know what it's like? I don't understand that either. Are we supposed to understand these things? Well, you know, they teach us stuff and they go here. And you go, oh, that's the way you're telling me. That's how it goes. So I should just shut up and never have a question about it. Wrong, wrong, wrong. The heat does very strange things to me. So does life. And you know, I can make it blame the heat. And I go to my shrink and I say, I don't have one now though, but I mean, imagine I go to my, I have in my head, I have shrinks who walk around with me every single day telling me this, that, the other thing. And, you know, I go, okay. If I didn't have them, you know, and they're all in my mind. You got them too, but you might call them different things. You might say they're angels. You might say they're, what they used to tell me when I was a kid, what is it? I don't know because I keep asking, what is it? An angel? No, your angel on your shoulder, your good guardian angel. That's it. See, this also, some, it makes me repeat things. It's not just the heat. That was a big thing back there in Shine a Light. You got to get back to Brooklyn, you know? And I don't know. It's just that I know people who long for that.
Let's go back. Let's touch the old days. Let's go.
I did it a couple of years ago, and it's way more years ago now than I care to believe or count. But when I did, I didn't know. I knew how to get around, okay? Going back after decades, I knew how to get around. I was in my car now, which is my old car. Thank you very much. And I'm driving up and down these streets, and I seem to, I know where to go. The streets haven't changed, okay? The cosmetics of the areas have changed, but the streets haven't changed. They didn't close down these avenues that are in order, you know? First, 5th Avenue, 6th Avenue, 7th Avenue, 8th Avenue, you know, 18th Avenue, 19th Avenue, 20th Avenue, 21st Avenue, and on, but it doesn't go to 30, what have you. But they haven't changed all that stuff. They haven't changed the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. They haven't changed any of this stuff. So you could go around, and yet everything is so different. And buildings have been rebuilt. But I remembered how to get around. That shocked me more than anything. More than the fact that there were people and breeds of people that I never thought I'd see in such volume around. I guess that's good for your head to know that when you go back, you can just get into automatic. You know, I think, here's what I think is wrong. Did you say something was wrong, Frank? Yes, I did. And I know I'm getting kind of personal here because something I haven't done most of the years I've been on. You see, there it is again. What years? What?
You know, you're going through some, Frank, and I don't think...
Is my then someone else, you know, other voice in my head.
I don't know, you're going through something.
Well, we're always going through something, aren't we? When do we stop going through things? Death. That's when we stop because we can't continue. And if you think you're going to some crazy, wonderful paradise, what do you think's going to happen there? It's like you can't possibly live in this utter bliss. You dissipate. How do I know that? I don't know that either. You know that. I don't know that. You who believe know that. I don't know. Where am I? I'm here on my show, Cotolo Chronicles. I'm chronicling. And a couple of weeks back, because I had some problems, they did a repeat. It's according to what part of the world you live, how you say it. It's a repeat. It's like insurance. I'm going to get some insurance. I said that as if only a southerner or a midwesterner says insurance. When people say insurance without that Texas accent, was that a Texas accent? Don't even know. I don't know. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. I think to see, I think that what bothers me, it says, here we go. Let's do it alphabetically or in numbers. No, we can't talk that, can't count that high. There are no guests on this particular show. It is a show. I thought about a number of things to do. And then I thought, let's go back to the Coney Island show that I said I was going to do a couple of weeks ago, but no, this is not a, you know me, I don't do something like a historic, and now here's a documentary and some facts and figures, you know, I don't do that. I just, I scrape from the bottom of my emotional barrel with my fingernails, which break, because they're never cut, I said cut, trimmed, style, they're never exactly the same. Do you remember kids? I don't know, maybe you don't remember kids that used to, who used to? It would be kids that. Kids that is okay. Kids that used to bite their nails in grade school. I could not believe how they kept biting their nails until they were down to the cuticles were, no, that's not the cuticles. The nail itself, what happens at the, that's still the nail. But, you know, the nail comes up, is that white part, and then, you know, if you cut it, goes all the way down, the skin comes over. I don't even know what that's called. It's the nail. These kids
would bite and bite and bite and bite. They'd sit in their little desk chair there, and they'd bite and bite. A finger was always in their mouth. They had 10 fingers, a good deal of them, these people had. And yet it was, I never saw girls do it. Remember, I'm talking about Brooklyn, a deep inner city. And in terms of grade school, I'm talking about mid to late 50s, which so many of you just read about in books, and I don't even know how you see it, what you think of it, especially you millennials. That is just outrageous to think that's like the Old West to you, right? I mean, what was that? No, it's ancient, dude. But they used to bite their nails. I mean, the skin, it just looked horrible. And they never took their fingers away from their mouths. But I never saw girls do it. I never saw. Now, I'm working on whatever memory I have about grade school. And although a lot of images come to mind, these are the ones that come to mind. The ones I've forgotten, I have not, you know, obviously I'm not going to, I'm going to tell you, and I'm just thinking about this now, as is always the case in Cthulhu Chronicles. Just thinking about this stuff as it happens in my head, and I don't remember. But yet, as I say that, I'm thinking of one or two that may have bitten their nails down to the end, and then beyond, until they were bleeding in some way. I was always one of the opposites. I always had longer fingernails, and I had to start snapping them. I said snap. I didn't mean snap. Chop. I didn't mean chop. Clip. See, there's a word for everything. You know, you clip your nails, you cut your hair. You can clip your hair. Can you clip your hair? Yeah, there's hair clippers, but you don't really clip. Clip is not a large chop. Chop! There's another biting, knife, sharp verb. Clip, chop. Anyway, I always had longer nails. That meant more dirt in the nails. And you had to constantly clean your nails or wash your hands and your fingertips. And it seemed like that just no matter what happened, your nails became dirty because there was dirt everywhere. And then when you talk about the summer, now I didn't go to summer school, it was a different situation. And when you're out playing and you're young and what have you, you know, people don't go, hey, why don't you clean your nails? You know, and this just goes on. You sweat, you're terrible looking, your hair's all over the place. But in those months when it started to get really hot and I was still in school, and in those days in Brooklyn, school went to like June 30th. You know, I mean, it wasn't until the 1st of July. July and August you were off, and then after Labor Day you went back to school. That was the yearly schedule. That was how it happened every year. So what am I saying? I'm saying that there were some late May, early June, mid-June, and late June days in those schools when they had huge fans. There was no air conditioning. These were not buildings that were controlled, climate controlled. I'm saying that I don't even know. I don't remember when I was in a school these days in this area that I've lived for 20 years. Because of my sons, I don't remember, but I do believe there was air conditioning, that there was controlled throughout the school. But nothing. We did not have any of that. We did have huge fans. I'm not talking about ceiling fans. I'm talking about huge metal fans with large blades. Okay, and it would get so hot. See, I should have brought water down. I didn't bring water. I said to myself, you know, while I was setting up and stuff, I said, I got the coffee and what have you. But when it's time to do the talk show, bring the water down. I didn't bring the water down. I may have to play Brooklyn again so that I could go get my water, because I don't think I can remember
You've got to replenish your precious bodily fluids. When it's hot, it's really, really hot. You've got to continue to drink and stay fluid. Now, how am I going to stay fluid without water while I'm down here with a fan on me and it's 102 degrees? And that's another thing, and you know that. It's not 102, but they're telling me, you know, it feels like 99. It's 89 and it feels like 90. Where do they get these other degrees from? Oh, it's the heat index, the dew point. Oh, the dew point. But it was so grimy and greasy during the summer, even those days, that we had these big fans in school. So in school, you'd go back to school in September. It was still hot until, you know, it started to cool off. And then October and then November, it goes into winter. Then it goes into spring. And then it goes practically into summer, even though it's not technically summer by date. So in grade school, three seasons. You're in there for three seasons each year. So how much of the nail can you bite? How much dirt can you take out of the nails that don't have? And then there was stupid things like if you're sitting in math class or some kind of class or what have you and say, I'm going to clean my nails. While you're sitting there, you're kind of fading off into your thoughts are way gone to whatever the teacher is talking about, whatever subject. And you take, you say you got nothing, so you take your pencil. In those days, pencils, pencils. How many people, let me see a show of hands, remember pencils? I don't like this. I don't like saying things and having to reference them to younger people. I don't like this. Probably because it's a battle with my own age, I guess. You take the pencil point. Sharpen it, because you'd have your own sharpener and a little pencil. They used to have pencil bags, you know, not pencil boxes, you know, pencil bags. So you'd bring extra pencils and pens. And you'd take the pencil point, and you would clean your nails with your pencil point. And it's like so stupid, too, because it did take out clumps of dark, sweaty, slimy dirt that got into the nails. Okay. But it also put lead in there. I mean, you know, you're cleaning it with a lead object. You're putting lead granules, maybe microcosmic, just quantum of lead going into your skin, which is sweating and absorbing it. Oh my God. How do 99.9% of us survive? You know, even if you've gone to school in these country schoolhouses or wherever you went in modern civilization, especially schools, germs everywhere, everywhere. And then you're putting more germs onto your body, into your body. How? Well, it's because of the immunity in you. The immunity in you? Yes, let's get technical. Your immune system. Getting little pieces of things. What am I talking like a doctor now? Like, you know this stuff, don't you? Don't you know this stuff? I got, Dad, stop. He's got. What's with got? I have to get water. I have an ice cold plastic bottle of water, which they tell me the plastic is going into the water and I'm getting all sorts of disease. I don't know what's going on with that, but I've got to get it because I'm sweating. I got a fan. And I'm sorry I didn't get it before. So what I'm going to do is give you a chance early on. You usually do this, what, at the hour? We'll play Brooklyn again. How about that? And then I'll probably be back before that's over. And we'll get into talking about what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Brooklyn, Coney Island, something like that. Go get some water and stuff. Get ready. Even if you're in air conditioning, get some water. Okay.
Light, or I'll never get back to Brooklyn. My, Brooklyn. It's been so long now, I want to get back to Brooklyn. My, Brooklyn, USA. Shine a light or I'll never get back to Brooklyn. My, Brooklyn. my, my, Brooklyn. Been so long, now I wanna get back to Brooklyn. My, my, Brooklyn, USA.
Couple of more minutes, you leave it on again.
No other pretty face could ever take my baby's place. There's only one, and I'm a Brooklyn son.
Oh! Oh!
Oh, never get back to Brooklyn.
Never wanna go back.
My, my.
No, 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 no.
Brooklyn.
The horror city. The horror. All right, ended up there.
My, my, Brooklyn, USA. My, my, Brooklyn, USA. My, my, Brooklyn, USA.
Shine, shine, yeah, right.
My, my, Brooklyn, USA.
The name of that group is Wiz. And Wiz. And oddly enough, to my knowledge, there has been no other song written about Brooklyn or even has Brooklyn in the title. Does anyone know that? If you do know that, you know where to get in touch with me. And I'm not talking about independent songs or songs that someone tossed on the internet or, you know, that stuff. I'm talking about a song that was out there. Maybe it was on the chart. It was for sale somehow. Yeah, I guess we can use iTunes. I don't know. Today, I guess, anything. There was a time when everybody thought anything goes. Imagine what those people, remember Cole Porter when he wrote the song, Anything Goes. Imagine what that imagine. All right, just fixing my hair so that it's getting long and I want to put it behind the headphones. All right, so that's what there, what Brooklyn, third largest city in the world. In the world. My name is Frank Cotolo. My man's name adorns the title of the show. And the show is Cotolo Chronicles. And I was going to talk about not just Brooklyn in a sense, but a specific part of Brooklyn that has had many incarnations. Coney Island, you know, you hear about it. Out there, if you're not from Brooklyn, you hear about it. If you're in Brooklyn, you know that there are many different incarnations of Brooklyn, of Coney Island. You know, if you're older, that you grew up in places that were like, I mean, that you saw many different parts of Coney Island, and you saw it. Some people were old enough at one point to have seen it burn down and then be reconstructed. And that's happened any number of times. We saw it go through urban madness and become a terrible, terrible place to live or have a store. Cousin of mine, through marriage, had a store there of a store that had, it wasn't an expensive store because it was pretty much, Coney Island was pretty much a slums, okay? And this, cousins through marriage of mine. I'm laughing. I'm going to tell you something that's almost tragic, but it's true. He lived for many, many years, but he was shot in his store. He opened a store there that was doing rather well. And he sold cheap things because people in those kind of neighborhoods can only buy cheap things. And people who could afford more expensive things would go into cheap neighborhoods to buy things cheap. Isn't that wild? Yeah. People who have the money look to shop cheap. People who don't have the money can't shop any other way. So my cousin, by marriage, was robbed. And it was being robbed. As he was being robbed, he went for a drawer he had on the side of his counter where, you know, instead of just giving the money over to the bandits,
Robbers? Bandits. Robbers is a subcategory of bandits. So in the bandits, he went for his gun because he had a gun in the drawer, right? And it was a quick move. He made it very quickly and rapidly. He got the gun, but by the time he got the gun, the kids, and they were kids. They were young, very much younger than him. Well, he wasn't old, but, I mean, they were young. Shot him and then ran. I think, I'm not sure if we recreate this story so that it's more exciting. If we recreate the story, I don't know if it's more exciting. I don't know what happened. I know he got shot, okay, twice. No, wait a second. No, he got shot once. Maybe he got shot twice, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. And he got shot once. No, I think he got shot twice. Oh, no. Let's say he got shot twice, and one of the bullets they were able to take out. Another one they never took out. He's alive to this day. His store in Coney Island closed down, and he went on to do other stores. He was a real entrepreneur of cheap things. No, that's not true either. He had one store that had very, very classy stuff in another neighborhood. Okay, look, forget about that. Point is, that's how bad Coney Island became at one point. It was crime-ridden. And through all that time, the very famous Nathan's hot dog stand, which wasn't a stand, it was a pretty big place. It started off as a stand, but it was a pretty big place to go and eat and get hot dogs and burgers. Famous for its hot dogs. And if you are acquainted with the hot dog eating contest, which makes national news every year, you know the people eat like 70 hot dogs in what? I don't know how long. 70 hot dogs is like, I don't know how many years for me, but you know, that's a... They do all the they just swallow down these things. That's Nathan's. And of course, at the time I'm talking about, Nathan's was, hot dogs were not available in supermarkets because they weren't, wait a second, were there even, there were very few supermarkets when I'm talking, even that was, rare. Okay. The kinds of stores, the kinds of stores, which were owned with people from by the, let me get the sentence together. The kinds of stores which were owned and operated by people such as my cousin during that rancid time in Coney Island when he was shot. I don't know if they even exist anymore, but they, so even they're gone. But supermarkets were rare too. There are a couple of them there, and more of them, I guess, than in suburban places, but in the urban places. Okay, so why did I bring that up? Because the stores like my cousin had, selling cheap things that did not exist anymore for a long time. So Coney Island had a lot of, as I said, had incarnations. It had many different climates, social climates. It was never really a great neighborhood. I mean, when I mean a great neighborhood, I mean like, you know, where people of upper class lived. But it was so available to everybody in every kind of neighborhood that it wasn't as wicked as it became, say, when it really started to go down in population of tourists. And they were just, you know, and the rides and when they closed the steeplechase. Now, you know, what is a steeplechase, Frank? I think I talked to you about this before, and I know it has something to do with a personal interest of mine and what have you, but I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to tell you that the steeplechase closed down, and this is amusement parks all over the, there were amusement parks within amusement parks at Coney Island through the years. And remember, when I'm talking through the years, I'm only going back, I saw a great documentary on Coney Island a while back, but, I'm going back to, as I said, mid 50s. So halfway through the century. Coney Island goes back to, you know, the turn of the century. in the 1900s, 18s. But I'm talking about is what I'm talking about is practically modern Coney Island. I'm talking about. Yes, I have my water here, and I have to take a drink. Everybody, drink up. Stay fluid. Sometimes the only thing that will quench your thirst entirely is water. Other times, beer is better than soda or anything. Beer. The problem with beer is that one beer does not a quenching state make. Is that Shakespeare? But for existential thirst quenching, get yourself a beer. Not a light beer. A real cold, and not a warm beer, but a cold beer. Ooh. Not a brown beer, not a vegetable beer. You know these beers they have out now? Onion squash beer, fruit, wheat beer. Do yourself a favor. Don't buy local beers. I know that's terrible for people locally going, support your local commercial play. Don't buy local beers or local wines. Don't waste your time. These breweries, I knew a guy who made beer in his house. And for some reason or another, never brought me a bottle. I said, really, what is that like to have a beer that's made in your house? And then it's cold, right? Yeah, well, it's cold when it's done, you know. It takes a long time. His excitement was, his interest was in making the beer. Getting the hops, getting the hops, the skips, and the jumps, or whatever it takes to make a beer. I don't know. And then local people, because he's a local person. See, I'm not from this area. You know that because I'm talking about Brooklyn. But I don't have any allegiance or loyalty to anything in this area, my area. All right? I'm not one of those people. Horoscope guy once told me, horoscope guy? Astrology guy once said to me, yeah, it's because you're a Sagittarian. And so you have no real home. You have no real local spot. You have no real allegiance or loyalty to where you were born or where you live or your community. In other words, you're a ragamuffin son of a bitch, loner. And the farther you get away from organized humanity, the better. He didn't say all that, but that's in my head what he said. But it's true. I mean, if you're going to now, if you, and I doubt if you do, although you can live in Mexico and listen to this, in the opening years of this show, they were listening in Spain, but. Come on, I'm not talking about the history of this show. I'm talking about beer. I'm talking about beer right now. Wasn't I? Yeah. Let's say you lived in Mexico. Now, when I say local beer, okay, hold on a second. When I say local beer, I mean from where you live. If somebody makes beer in your area, you know, you could be very polite, to take a sip and go, very good, or he or she gives you a bottle. I don't think that many women make beer, you know. I don't think many men make beer in their own house. But sometimes there are people like this person I knew who had beer and made beer. And the beer, local beer. Now, they have local breweries. It's a hard word to say, my friends. Breweries. Oh, well, screw it. Right? So, this guy makes the beers, but I mean local beers. There's any local wines, too. Terrible. Terrible. Yes, that was the mail. Mail came in, and it's meaningless. Meaningless mail just came in. You're saying, why is that up? Because that's connect the sound of the mail inbox is the same as the sound. It's connected to the sound of this. The sound of my voice. If you're within the sound of my local stuff, okay? It's all, be polite, but it sucks. Okay, okay, I know what you're saying.
It's your opinion.
And you're right, it is my opinion. Let me tell you, instead of saying, instead of making it judgmental, which I do based on my opinion, and you do it too, you know it, you do it, so don't give me that. That. Don't give me that. Every once in a while I go back to Brooklynese. Don't give me that. Give me that. Give me that. How do you spell it? You do it too. What I'm saying is I don't like local beers. I don't like local wines. I would have to live in, now, there are places, there are countries that have a good beer, but again, not locally. If you live in Tokyo and you drink the certain kinds of Japanese beers they have, those are good beers. If you live, obviously, live in Hamburg or you live in, Bergenham or, where's the other place? Berlin? You know, anywhere over there, oh my goodness, Germany, Austria, their local beers are international beers. They're not local beers. Or wine in France. That not, it's not local because the stuff is so darn damn good that it's distributed worldwide. It's global. If you buy Corona beer, you're buying this Mexican made beer. If you live there, then it's local beer, but you can't get the local beer like in my neighborhood, in your neighborhood, because the distribution is not that vast and because there's no way to get that kind of junk. There I go again, I'm judgmental. The thing is, if you know a good local beer that does not have that should be global, for gosh sakes, find out, tell me. Or find out why it's not global. That's what I mean. So whereas this Japanese beer that you would get at Benihana's, that's the Japanese comedy restaurant, Benihana's. Okay, when you get that Japanese beer, it's really good with the Japanese food, and you could buy the Japanese beer at a brewery store. It's like that great place I've talked about and I've written about. I don't even know if it's there anymore. And now I've got to remember the name as I continue to talk because we don't want too much dead air. Barney's Beanery in Los Angeles. I know there must still be a Barney's Beanery. And there was this place in Seattle I went to. It was across the street from where the Seattle baseball team used to, the Seattle Sailors. I forgot their name, the Mariners. Of course, they'd be the Mariners, right? It's the area. See, this local thing gets into every fiber of community. But, you see, that's why people, I think, can be, I don't understand why this local thing doesn't work all the time with baseball teams. I don't care anymore at all, but I don't understand why somebody, there are people here in my area, who love these teams from other cities, and I'm going, why? Why? I mean, what? Give me a reason. And I just like them. I just like them. I grew up with people telling me things like that. No explanations for anything. No wonder I have so many gosh damn questions about everything. Nobody ever said or nobody. What a very rare few people said things like, here's why. And explained it. But the beer thing is, local beers, community area beers. And so many places have so many areas that it's just sickening, isn't it? Oh, did I mention? No, I didn't. We're going to do the Dada News again. We're going to do the Dada News at the top of the hour after we do one of those little things that says where you're listening. And then we're going to go back into our Coney Island stuff. When? Did you even start the Coney Island thing? Yes, I did. But I wanted to look. Oh, wow. I found. That's right. I wanted to read something, which I have to find now. I have to find it. You know, I don't really understand how it could say I have mail and then not show me the mail. Why doesn't it show it? Inbox, too. Is there anything? No. Oh, here comes. No, nothing. What the hell is that? Inbox 2. Oh, here we go. Okay, we don't want to read any of that crap. Just forget about that crap.
What am I doing? I'm going to look for something. I thought I had a link to this. You know, it's because I'm never, you know, I never rehearse, but I'm always prepared. Is it, you call this prepared? Let's go to the Google. I'm going to go to the Google. I'm going to read you some stuff and explain to you about the atmosphere of Coney Island. And how that atmosphere, this was taken and became poetic. This is true, using the word legendary for Coney Island works. It is a legend because there's stories about it that don't exist. Its depth its depth of field in terms of its incarnations and the generations that have grown into it, the poetry of life and the poetry of literature and all that it has been grown into in terms of illusion, in terms of reality, okay, all that stuff. It's immense. It's more than any number of places I think you could talk about. Okay, so this is what? I didn't want to go to... This is nuts. Yeah, I know. It's just, I know what I did. It's when you when you're going into search engines, you go within the search engine of the site and not... Okay, come on. I want to do this here. Coney Island of the... Coney Island Fun Guide, it says Brooklyn. I want to go to the Coney Island of the Mind poems and reach those, some of those, and give you an idea of the mystique of this place. These beaches, there were many beaches, even though it's one long coastline, just like in California or in Portugal or in Spain, these long, the coast is the beach, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on because that's the coast. It goes on till it stops and it goes around the country. Same thing. This is the East Coast and it's a big, there are a lot of beaches. The Coney Island Beach was just one of them. There were a couple of them. I lost a lot of my virginity in one of those beaches because the best place to go was under the boardwalk. Did I say Broadwalk? Under, that's what they used to say. And Broadwalk. It's Boardwalk. Okay. But a guy named Lawrence Ferlinghetti took a phrase from another Brooklynite, a famous writer from Brooklyn. And you know, if you've listened to this program over the years, a writer named Henry Miller, whose books were banned for many years in New York. But he wrote a lot about New York and Brooklyn. And of course... Well, not of course. You don't know, of course. I don't know, of course. You look it up. Get out your books, millennials and people who are not in your anywhere near your 50s, and look up that. But in a wonderful story, which has influenced me like you care, like anyone cares throughout the years, called Into the Nightlife by Henry Miller from a book called Black Spring, which is a number of short stories, which I would always encourage people to read. There is the phrase, Coney Island of the Mind. The Brooklyn-born writer, Henry Miller, used that phrase in this dreamlike essay, which is so brilliant, you just want to plot, okay? Lawrence Ferlinghetti likes his spaghetti. I like that. Spelled exactly how spaghetti, G-H-E-T-T-I. Kids did not know how to spell spaghetti. They grew up, Italian neighbors did not know how to spell spaghetti when I grew up. Did I? No. That H. Spaghetti with the H. You know, it's, you know, Italian was being spoken, but not spelled when I grew up. Among the Italians, including people of my blood, grandparents and onward. A Coney Island of the Mind, Lawrence Ferlinghetti became very popular by writing these poems. Look at all these. If you look it up on Google, there's tons of them. But where do you read? It's the 50th anniversary, and 2008 was the 50th anniversary.
I got good. Oh, here's Goodreads. I wonder if it would, they would actually have one or two of them there. I don't know if this is, I don't know if this is, what is it? Still getting royalties. Title of this book is taken from Henry Miller's. Oh, it says right here in Goodreads, from Henry Miller's Into the Nightlife, and expresses the way Lawrence Ferlinghetti felt about these poems when he wrote them during a short period of 1950s. And in Goodread, they have set, they've written out 1950s incorrectly. They made it possessive instead of plural. This is Goodreads. Oh my gosh, I can't get away from it. All the humanity. I know I make mistakes, but there's so many. Okay. It's an entirely different subject that has nothing to do with anything you care about. So let's move on here. Maybe you don't care about this either. We'll find out. The short period of 1950s, as if they were taken to a kind of Coney Island of the mind, a kind of circus of the soul. Now, want to read? Yeah, we know it, but I want to know if there's any, well, no, they're not going to show it. There are none. I guess good, you can't do it at Goodreads. You have to buy it. I want to know, where are some of them? Alrighty, how about if we just go to the top here? Maybe there are some that we could read. Oh, here's one. Ta-da-da-da. 20. I guess he named them. Lawrence Ferlinghetti. I believe that's Italian. And I believe he was, you look him up. See if he's from Brooklyn or what have you. I'm just looking over this and I'm going to get something. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's do this early. Let's do the halftime early. Then we'll come back, talk about Coney Island of the Mind. More of the poetry from that era and Coney Island stories and things about Coney Island and why you should look it up. Coney Island. Why is it Coney? Who is it? The name after a guy or what have you. It's amazing the things that we don't know, right? About places, even where we live. Who knows these things? Where is this? Things? Speaking of things, how about this thing? Let's do this early, like 8 minutes early. Take some drinks. Replenish your precious bodily fluids. I'll come back and read to you some of this stuff and then some other stuff about Brooklyn and Coney Island about that. It's the Cotolo Chronicles.
Cotolo Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
Keep listening to me, Frank Cotolo and Cotolo Chronicles. I am the third man, and that's where you are right now. If you're not listening on a Thursday night between 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, then you are listening lifelike, not live. The great stations that run this show and care. They are so, even conservative stations run this show. And I love that, the fact that they're open enough, because they don't give a rolling donut about what I think or what stand I have or where I'm on, what aisle, what side of the aisle, if I'm in the aisle at all. They do it because they know something I don't know. But I love it. And wherever you're listening, I love it. And of course, at JuicedTalk.com, you can go and get an earful, or you could download the shows. Everything's for free here. Because this is not, this is the original place. That's why. I am the third man. There's always one more man. What happened? Yeah? We're here. What happened? What happened? Display window. Colonel Mode Driver stopped responding and has successfully recovered. Let's hear it for whatever that means. Isn't that something? Wow, the things that are going on we don't even know about here in the great cyber space that we inhabit. Drink your water. Wow, that's unbelievable. Drivers disappearing and reappearing. It's magic, I tell you. It's not black magic. White magic. I'm the third man. I'm always watching. Maybe that's what it was all about. All right. So welcome back here. Top of the second hour. Holding off on the Dada News, too, huh? What did I do with that? I got that somewhere. I don't know. We're going to do this first. Maybe we won't do Dada News. Who knows? Okay. So the whole screen goes black. And it says, driver... I read to you what it said, and I have no idea. Nothing stopped. Still broadcasting. And there's still, wow, that was very strange. Very strange. Coney Island of the Mind. This is a poem 20 from the book of poems. I hope that I can do justice to reading this. Because, you know, poetry, remember, is meant to be read aloud. So no music behind me, just the fan. You got the sense, your senses, okay? My name is Frank Catolo, Mano's name adorns the title of the show. I'm the third man, and this is the only show. A Coney Island of the Mind, 20. The penny candy store beyond the L is where I first fell in love with unreality. Jelly beans glowed in the semi-gloom of that September afternoon. A cat upon the counter moved among the licorice sticks and Tootsie Rolls and Oh Boy Gum. Outside, the leaves were falling as they died. A wind had blown away the sun. A girl ran in, her hair was rainy, her breasts were breathless. In the little room outside, the leaves were falling and they cried, too soon! Too soon! The idea... Oh, it's done, thank you. The idea is not part of the poem. The idea of the Coney Island of the Mind... Very... explicitly understood that this is where I fell in love with unreality. And living in a city as large as Brooklyn, third largest city in the world, my friends, okay, still not something, but the idea that you would be surrounded in every possible way by people, places, and things, nouns, no less structures. The people were structures at times. And that
you would go to Coney Island, and this would be the neighborhood where you wanted to live. In your mind. And there's something about urban living, I think, that does invigorate and decay people's minds and imagination. And maybe it's like those saloon doors I always talk about that separate my conscious from my unconscious. And, but I know what Ferlinghetti's talking about, because that, if you lived in a place like Brooklyn and went to the schools, which are crowded, then you played on the streets, which are crowded, because you couldn't go to the parks because they were crowded. And wherever you could do something, you found a place to do it, but it was always restricted because there's so many people and so many buildings and so many cars and so much dirt, so many birds and all the crap that is everywhere. Crap, crap, more crap. So much crap that has to find its way between your fingernails. So then you'd go to Coney Island. And you see, in that poem, he said September afternoon. He's talking about one of the seasons. Remember I told you about the seasons, right? One of the seasons. And Coney Island was always open, per se. But, you know, it was a seasonal place. And September, when it was still hot a bit, you know, it's Labor Day. And before summer entirely ended. And you'd go to this place, and there were, you know, there was the boardwalk. And the boardwalk, which looked over the beach, people on the beach, kids, let's just say young people and old people. You know, the Coney Island, and like, I guess it's like a lot of beaches, but when you're young, this is one of the places that all ages hang out. So the kids, think about it. Okay, time's up. Don't think about it any longer. Everywhere you go has an audience, a specific audience. So you're a young kid, as I was a young kid, and there's people of all ages. On the beach, on the boardwalk, in, and I would say stores, because there were galleries of games. It's like everywhere you turned, you could do something, see something. And unlike so many parts of the city, when you did things or when you grew up, this was interactive fun. Interactive fun. There was nothing passive about Coney Island. Even laying out on the beach was not passive, because you were sharing the beach with so many people, and then the people themselves were to each other attractions. Fat people, old people, young people, younger than young people, older than old people. People of both sexes, of all sorts of origins, German people, Chinese people, Italian people, Jewish people, many of them were not immigrants per se, they were Americans, but when I was there, I mean, before that, they were, you know, immigrants. And, you know, people wanting to be. But there's just so many, it's just a cacophony of things to see, people to talk to. This is all interactive stuff, okay? You could not go to Coney Island and not interact, but in a different way, because it wasn't the rat-a-tat-tat that went on in the parts of the city that were, you know, that was a battle to keep the space that you own, because that's your body. You're born in your body and you have a space. That's your body.
Some of us have take up more space and not, but that's your space. And everywhere it's a fight, but not in Coney Island when you're young and you're taken to this place where there's it's a circus on the street. Now, yes, of course, people say, New York City's a circus on the street. No. And you're a kid and you go there. This is not, by the way, Coney Island is not where I learned unreality, but you understand the poetic definition of that when you hear that poem I read. What's going on stays with you, some of us, I'm sure a lot of us, and take it with you. And a lot of that adventure is, of course, romance. I told you before, under the boardwalk, such sensations that I remember, such wonderful things. Oh man, this wasn't like just the sexual aspect. It was wonderful feelings every possible way. Under the boardwalk, the sand was cool, cool sand. A sun on the beach sand. Ay, ay, ay. Only once did I get what is commonly known as sunstroke. And I guess it was sunstroke. I don't know the levels of sunstroke. Can you die from sun? I guess so. I don't know why. But it was so bad. I was out in the sun so long, so bad. 2 days, two incredibly hot days. And I was out there. And nobody, you know, you put some stuff on you. Nobody had this melanoma scare. Did I say melanoma or melanoma? Is it Mel? Melanoma. Remember him? He was one of the guys who lived down 59th Street. Melanoma. Yeah. So you people just went out and got, you know, lobster red. And I went out to play and I didn't think of it, or there was not enough stuff or what have you, and you don't go. But under the boardwalk, it was cool. And the boardwalk was far enough away from the water not to get wet, but it had its own little dampness because it wasn't the heat of the sand. You had to wear sandals or something, or you had to move very quickly because it was like walking on hot coals, really, if you were barefoot. But it had all the ingredients of this circus-like thing, and of course, people will have, like, you know, if you think about Federico Fellini, that's another Italian, Fellini, not Ferlinghetti, there's a lot of E's, and Fellini's, Fellini, Malini, Racanini, Macaroni, and stuff, these Italians. You know, the idea of the circus, the people's performing, doing weird things, swallowing swords and flames, and women with battleships tattooed on their legs, and big fat men, little people who are, you know, midgets, and people with, you know, freaks, literally freaks because they look so different, you know, and all that believe it or not things, people who can hammer nails into their skulls. Ever see that? I don't know how they do that stuff. Magicians, clowns, people looking like clowns, people looking like magicians. It's available anywhere. It was available anywhere. Now, forget it. I don't know where you get these things. There are boardwalks and semblances of these strange shows. You know, the Cave Lady and the Tunnel of Love and aside from the rides, I'm talking about roller coasters and parachute jumps. But here's this place you just didn't want to leave. Like, can I just stay here? I won't even eat. I'll just starve to death right here. It's a dream world. But it exists. It's 3D. You know, you can see it. You can do it. And you want to stay there. And it's wonderful. I remember going to Coney Island in the winter. And it was an entirely different place because the sideshows and the rides were closed down. But it was still had this wonder to it. It was like the great beast was sleeping, in his, you know, he was hibernating, until spring started to get warmer and warmer and bleed its way into summer. And then everything would wake up the way plants wake up and flowers bloom in fields when seasons change. That's it. But it was a shadowy, and it was cold though, because you're right by the beach. And another thing is, I knew someone, who was a member of the, what do they call those people? Here we go again, right? What do they call those people? You know, the people who would go in the winter into the water. They go swimming. The polar bears. Oh, well, appropriately named. There was the Polar Bear Club. I knew a guy. I bought a typewriter from him once, an electric typewriter. So this is later on, and I'm in my early 20s now. Now, then. He had a typewriter shop, and he invited me to go in the winter, and was promoting the excellent feelings and the defiant sensations of all the people who were in this polar bear club. I did not do this, so I don't have a story about me in the polar bear club. I know that would be a perfect Molotov memoir, because the character that I am in the polar bear club. But of course, it has to do with the fact that the water is warmer in the winter. Say that five times fast. Are you ready? The water is warmer in the winter. 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 I lost count, but I think I was doing pretty well, don't you? The water is warmer in the winter. The ocean water, that's ocean water. Okay, so, you know, tides and things. The ocean water is older, was warmer in the winter. And him and a bunch of people would, practically naked. I don't really remember, to be honest with you, they were totally naked or not. These people were out there. I hope we're not going to have another one of these diving. What happened here? Why does this? See, what was that? The thing that said, he's lost it. You know, what is he talking about now? Has he left us? Is the show still on, Frank? Yeah, I know. It's this wild. What is this called? No, I'm just going to make this. Look at that. It won't go. The browser does not have a, I'm going to try to turn it on. There it goes. I just shut the whole browser down, right? To hell with it. Because the driver thing is just crazy. So we'll just talk here like this. Still on the air, aren't I? Yes. Okay, fine. God, you know, I don't have a staff here. I'm doing all this myself. Anyway, I didn't do that. But I did go there in the winter once to watch them go into the water. Polar Bear Club. Time for some more water. What do you think? 45 minutes. 40 left here. I don't know why people do that anyway. I don't know the sensation. I saw them do it live. And I had the, you know, jacket on and everything. I still don't get it. What do you got? I don't have? What do you mean? I don't understand the sensation of it. But people do all this stuff all over the place. But Coney Island has gained a reputation, a mythical and, in a sense, legendary. Because there are stories about it that just go, and there's poetry, which, of course, that's legend. Because it's not true in the sense. But it's attached this to reality, and the unreality attached to reality is legend. Well, let's not go into that again, okay? With the legendary people and things. Let's not go into that. But Coney Island was magic, and it hosted polar bears. Again, more kinds of people.
And this is what, there was never, ever a shark scare. Ever. That I recall. See? Because I don't even know. How do I know, right? I don't know. But when I was going there, first, of course, with the parents, and not always the parents, because my father wasn't always available. My father and the beach, that is not Coney Island. My father and the beach is a whole nother place. Coney Island, Coney Island with my mother was a horror show because she was one of those mothers where, you know, you're just going to die by going into the water, by eating and then going into the water, or just going into the water, or not eating, or going into the water because you'll go too deep or it'll sweep you away, or going on the boardwalk alone because someone will steal you, or which is a kidnapping, you know, all that stuff. Mother fears this all over the place. And yet, so when I was able to go to Coney Island alone and old enough and went with some friends, and especially with a mixed crowd, that is boys and girls, wow. It was terrific. We'd have to get there. None of us drove. We were too young to drive. We'd get there by train. Train being subway, but not all subway, because where we lived, and it was mentioned in the poem there, he said the L, E-L, E-L is short for elevation, elevator, elevated. You know, what is it short for? An elevated train. Now, the subways were subways because they went underground, but they also went overground, and the subways came over onto the surface and then up into the air and on in the L. Elevated trains were subways, still the subways, but they were in elevated tracks. I don't know when that started compared to the trolleys and the trains that were on the ground. That's way before my time when it existed. But so the L. But then again, if Ferlinghetti's in the 50s, Henry Miller's more the 30s, and so he's not talking about the L. There were L's back then, but not as many. But in Brooklyn, you'd get on to, where would we go? We would get on to the, I'm trying to remember this now. And I remember this, and those of you from Brooklyn, or who knew Brooklyn, what was the train? On 18th Avenue, we'd get onto the we'd go to Avenue I and get on the F train. Hello. The F train. Trains went to different areas in New York and through the boroughs. They had letters. Now, and there were a couple of numbers. There was the one, the train, the one, the two, the three, but those were up on the Bronx. But in Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan, there were mostly letters. We'd get on the F train. We could get on it. Well, that the F train was in Avenue I. On the Avenue I, I think we got onto the B train. There was a B train on the L. Get on the B train. You could take the B train directly to Coney Island. So the F train didn't go to Coney Island. Jeez, I don't even remember. Isn't that something? I was there driving around. I remember the streets. Maybe if I was there taking the subway, I would remember. I would get on the subway. I would go, oh, I know where to go because you're there. Okay, but I wouldn't do that because I'm not crazy about the subway. I never was crazy, but there were times when it wasn't so bad. Anyway, the kids, we're kids. We'd get on, a couple of girls, a couple of guys. We'd get on the, let's say we just went up and got on the B. I'll say it was the B train. We went up on the L, got on the B train. The B train, from where we lived in Brooklyn, would take us directly to Coney Island. So it's great. We were always above ground. So the L took us over streets and avenues and, you know, neighborhoods, which had streets and avenues, neighborhoods. And we went all the way through various places. And then we'd get off. I think it was the last stop. Brighton Beach. Yes. Brighton Beach. Now, Brighton Beach, not Coney Island, it was a part of Coney Island, or it was the outskirts of Coney Island. Oh, boy.
This is how thick and dense was Brooklyn at the time. It's probably still thick and dense. But I don't know what trains go where and what they're called anymore. If we were lucky, now back in those days, you know, talking about air conditioning and fans and schools. Listen to this. If we were lucky, by the time I was getting into my teens, well, I was in my teens. By the time I'm in my teens and I'm going with my girls and guys to Brooklyn, through Brooklyn, with these trains, there are these new trains, newer subway trains. And they, some of them are air conditioned. Now before that, no air conditioning. There were fans in the old dark brown green. I think they were originally green, but they became dark brown from the soot and the dirt and the underground and the rat crap and everything else that was down there in the subway. Those were the R2 trains, the old heavy ones. They had seats that were woven like baskets, okay? And later on, the plastic seats came, the silver trains, and the silver trains, most of them were air-conditioned. This was a gigantic thing for people who took the subway, used the subway system. And you'd get into the air-conditioned trains, some of you'd be lucky. You'd be nice and cool until you got to the beach. I don't know. Sometimes it would, was it great to be not, to be on the R2 trains going to the beach? Well, they had windows open and you were outside, so you weren't, in the rat holes, the rat trails, the rat tunnels of the subway from where I lived. So that was good. You know, you get the trains, get on the trains and the trains on the elevated trains, and we would talk and romp and laugh and scream. They had plastic seats, as I mentioned. They had plastic. They weren't anywhere near as they didn't even attempt to be comfortable. These trains, these are blue, I think they were green, the silver trains, please don't ride between the cars. Conductors, whenever you see a conductor. When was there a conductor? So rarely to, rare to see a conductor. So rare to see a a policeman, a subway policeman. What were they called? Those of you who may have seen the movie, The Taking of Pelham 123. Okay, see, that was the Bronx, and those trains were labeled by number. The one, the 123 is a Pelham 1. In the Bronx. But in Brooklyn, it was the F train, the B train, the A train, the double A train. I think there was a C train. Where'd the C train go? I don't know if there was a C train. I don't know why there wasn't a C train. There was an A train, a double A train, a B train. There was a double B train, a B-B-B train, a B-B-B. By the way, another drink. As you continue to listen to Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man whose name adorns the title of the show, which will continue for another 40-something minutes. I want to say hello to my friend Tom Savino, who we know is the host of Savino Veritas. Tom had a physical event, which has kept him from getting back into his show. So, Savino Veritas, you have to say it like that, Veritas. When I knew Tom Savino back in Brooklyn, he had a pool, his family had a pool, and this was very rare in Brooklyn to have, you know, a pool in their backyard, not dug into the ground, but elevators. This is a private pool, so, you know, friends would go over, friends like me and the girls and guys, and we'd go to the pool. No beach, no sand, just the pool. Privacy, thank you. There's no privacy out there at Brighton Beach or Coney Island. Let's go back to Coney Island.
Now, Coney Island, and so we would go on the boardwalk. We'd go under the boardwalk and do that kind of stuff. We'd play ball, and we'd run out into the water, come in, sit on the blankets. And so you had to bring blankets. You want to put your arse on that hot sand. And then we'd put on our sandals or whatever we were wearing, go onto the boardwalk. And there'd be a skee ball, and some pinball machines. And there were lights and things. You know, you'd go into these places that can, the smell of the ocean would disappear when you walked into some of these funhouse places. And now I say funhouse, not a place that you don't buy anything to get in there, but they had games in there. They had, early kinds of pinball stuff, the kind that, you know, Seven Greylands would go nuts if you could get a hold of some of these things. Cause in the beginning, the earliest, they weren't even that electronic. It used to be this baseball game that, had flippers, and you played 8 innings and 9 innings or whatever, you know. And then there were pinball, but pinball was very, this isn't just pre-digital. This is almost pre-electronic. It's working on gears and wheels and gears and things, okay? But the lights were all over, because you'd go into, from the sun outside, you'd go into this dark place. The ocean smell disappears. There's an entirely different fragrance in there. It's a mixture of everybody that's in there. And there's a lot of people in there. They're sweating. They have the sand smell on them, the water smell on them mixed. So it's not just the water smell. They're sweating. Some of them just have good old fashioned body odor. And everything. It's a combination. It's a smell that could not, it changed. It changed almost from moment to moment, depending upon the number of people you might be close to, how they smelled, and the mixture of those smells and odors, and you, and your sensitivity of your nose to pick up these things. But it was nothing like being out there on the beach. On the beach, you couldn't smell people. You just smelled the ocean and the sand mixing with it. And the wind would blow in, once in a while, blow in garbage from some of the areas and the neighborhoods in Coney Island where people lived. And this was not the kind of beach property that you wanted to live, where you wanted to live. Not like later on in my life. But I'm not talking about later in my life anyways. I'm going to talk about when I lived on a California beach, which was, it was heaven compared to Coney Island and then Brighton Beach. That was hell compared to heaven on the West Coast. And people who are, who grow up in place like Coney Island in the Atlantic Ocean, let's just say, those people go to the Pacific Ocean and are amazed at how the ocean appears different. Now, I don't know how different the ocean may be. How different is the Atlantic Ocean from the Pacific Ocean in terms of its value? Aren't these all salt water oceans? They're oceans, right? So why is it different? Because the climate is different? Because the Atlantic Ocean gets a lot more... The Atlantic Ocean doesn't get a lot more weather than the Pacific, does it? Because the Pacific Ocean... There's weather out there. The Pacific Ocean's pretty big. I don't know which one is bigger. I'm not going to give you any of that. I do know that I felt different close to the Pacific Ocean than I did close to the Atlantic Ocean. But also, that's also because it's an entirely different area, and it's an entirely different culture, and it's an entirely different blend of culture. So, it was different. But there's less people, more people. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm dealing with images. I'm dealing with grasping at memories that have to do with senses because, you know, the smell of something, the touch of something, the sound of something,
the taste of something. Did I cover all the senses? The sight of something. I think I did there. It's all part of how we create these memories of these places. And the East, and having lived, a lot of people in the East have not lived in the West, so they don't know how to measure or describe a difference or differences that they feel. I do, because I did. And I am, right now. What do I have? I have these sweatpants on, and I just put my hand into my pocket, and I was touching my leg. You know what that means? That means there's a hole in my entire thing. You know, where's the pocket? I don't know. Trunks, the feel of trunks, wearing trunks. We would go to the beach when we went to Brighton Beach and Coney Island. Now I'm, you know, older, not when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was all right, but always being under the control of a parent is totally different. It's not the magic that it becomes when you're out there alone with your peers, with your age group. It's an entirely different thing then, isn't it? Isn't it? So, being out there, it's just amazing. And it was amazing. And it was, so to take that and make it, I don't know if that's a metaphor or, you know, Coney Island of the mind. I'd love to, you know what I should have done is I should have gotten the book, which is like steps away from me. See, I need more water now. And read some of Into the Nightlife for, but you go read it. I know a lot of you have it. The book is called Black Spring and Into the Nightlife. Author is Henry Miller. I thought Goodreads let you read some stuff. I get a good review in there from one of my books. I haven't done one rap mentioning that you can go get my books, because you know where to get my books. If you don't, well, you're going to have to just Google me. I like to think. As Hemingway said, it's pretty to think that I may have, with some of the things I've written, value that meets the level of some of the writers that I have admired. I don't want to say admired. The writings I admired. I don't know them. I didn't know them. And some of them you find out about and you don't like them. I mean some of the literature that has influenced me and freed me. Freed me. What else about Coney Island was I going to talk about anyway? My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. The show is just me this week. This, admit we have thick heat summer mid-July of Y2K plus 17. Oy! I get a pain right here, doctor, when I think. And it's true. This show that began... Okay, I'm not going to go into that at all. And I'm not going to mourn those atmospheres. I don't want to be like the people I dislike. Do you? And yet, I can't help it. Sometimes I am like people. You know that old thing? And this is, does this fit into Coney Island? Well, it does too, because the morals, the behavior of people who grew up in that urban world where that dirty beach and that carnival place, that carnival atmosphere, that Coney Island. I guess so.
that mixture of that blend of humanity that was and the mixture of feelings, and oh my goodness, so alive. You know, to feel incredibly alive is not what the I don't even know what to call them without being judgmental. What a lot of people, the positive people, I don't know what to call these people. You know, they're sunshine blowers. I guess that's what I always call them now. They're sunshine blowers. Feeling alive has to do with bad feelings too, not just the wonderful things. Oh, I think positive, always stay forward and steady and not, you know, you don't break down. You're not alive. You gotta feel, you gotta know the feeling of breaking down. You gotta know the feeling of pain. You gotta know the feeling of fear. Although, you know, because of all these things and how to get through it. And when you grow up in the city and you're the place like Coney Island, is a getaway. Right? That's a getaway in your own, within the boundaries of your own territory. It's a little beyond the boundaries because, you know, the neighborhoods and all the tribes that live in the neighborhoods or what have you. It's very, very, Native American in a certain way. You know, in essence. Very tribal. That's the best word for it. And when you grow up in that, and feeling alive is really understanding the blend. That's what gets a lot of those people into Eastern religion type things, type philosophies. Things, I said things again. People, places, and things. That's it. That's everything right there. People, places, things. But Coney Island, you know, being that age, teens out there with all those things I described, which are attacking, not just, you know, they attack and seduce and they absorb and they penetrate and permeate the senses when you're that age and so ready to just try to understand, you know, life and growing and all the crap that is there, you know, and people who try to instill only wondrous, beautiful, smiling light somewhere into your head, they don't get it. Do they? It's just being judgmental. I don't mean that way. I'm just saying that it's, hoi, hoi, hoi. You know, all of it, growing up the way I grew up and being surrounded by people who were this, that, and the other thing. People who hurt, people who loved, people who hated, people who were prejudiced, people who were judgmental, and yet people who were loving, people who did, you know, they ran the gamut. I think that's different from growing up. I know it's different from growing up somewhere in the country where you're limited exposure to various different types. And the problem is, and that's what's great, because, you know, when you went to a place like Coney Island, all you ever looked for after that, no matter where you went in the world, were other places like, you know, other circus, carnival type places. I never went to the circus when I lived in New York. The circus came to town. Never went to the circus until I lived in L.A. and had children. And I took my children to the circus. Thanks to a friend I know who got us in for nothing because he worked for Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey. Or maybe it was just Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey had left by then. I don't know. Okay, so in the city, the circus was always in town in those places. Wherever you went in the world after that, you looked for those kind of places. When I go on the boardwalk in Santa Monica is a big place. People, the first time I was there and the other times I was there, it was the boardwalk. It just wasn't the same.
And that has a lot to do, not with what I spoke about before, the fact that the Atlantic Ocean was dirty, the Pacific Ocean was clean, or it smelled different, or there were different cultures. It didn't have anything to do with that. It had to do with the fact that I was different. I was older. I had been attacked by that particular carnival thing, that carnival atmosphere, that carnival magic, the spell of that, at a time when I was less armored. By the time I got to Santa Monica Beach, by the time I was in California living out there, I was armored. And so it was hard to permeate. It was hard for all whatever magic was there was different. It was just difficult to get to me because I was already seduced. I had lost my carnival virginity. I had lost the magic of that particular, very particular world that existed inside of the hideous, horrible, morbid city where I lived. I don't have to get back to Brooklyn that way. I never want to. I called it so many times a necropolis, not a metropolis. And when I wrote about it, and I was young, and I didn't done, and I was still learning how to write, it was yuck. It was yuck. Terrible. But by writing and exploring all the feelings, not just the heartbreak, but the heartfelt, all that stuff, when that was happening, I realized that all the different flavors of emotions and being that came from Coney Island. I don't know if people who grew up in the various beaches where I was hanging out in Los Angeles or in San Diego, especially San Diego, because San Diego, I was able to walk the beaches. I take walks on the beach at night. Beautiful, but totally different. And if I grew up here, if this was the atmosphere that permeated me, that, you know, that seduced me, it would be different. I would be different. But by the time I was out there doing that, I knew it was different, but so was I. And that combination is that combination. It's unique. And if I'd grown up there, and I'd been seduced and had my, you know, popped my pop cherry on the West Coast, it would be totally different. Oh, more water as we wind into the next and last 10 minutes of this Cthulhu Chronicles. That's why I called it the, Bemusement Park. I don't know how other people remember that or anything. I don't know. And so it is that, as I became older and older and as I shed the skins that I grew, shed the armor that I wore from those years, 28 some odd years of living in the tri-state area of the East, the necropolis, the third largest necropolis in the world. I shouldn't say that because there's still cities I don't know because I haven't lived there. Friend of mine used to say, you never know a place till you live there. And that's true. But you can't live everywhere at the same time in your life when you are affected a certain way from living there. You can't do it. So, right? You can't, because you're different when you're 10, you live in one place. You're 20 and you live in another. You know, I knew a kid, and I've told you about this kid before. I don't know where he lives or if he's still alive or what have you. He was a friend of ours, a Japanese mother, and his father was an American military man. So, military families lived many different places because they lived wherever the father was stationed, and he'd be stationed and restationed. In those days, I don't know if it was where the mother stationed, because I don't know. I didn't know that. Just knew with the father. And this kid was totally Japanese. You look at him, but he spoke totally English, because he's totally American. He was born somewhere, but his mother was Japanese, father was American, and his father was Italian. His name was Nazaro. George Nazaro was the kid's name. So the kid is Japanese. And he looks like a Japanese. You know, it's different. You know, some people look like, it's not like, you know, he looks Asian. Italians can, you know, mostly Caucasians look like Caucasians. You know, Irish look like, Scottish look like, English look like Italians. They don't look that different. But you stick an Asian right in the middle of those guys, and, you know, he's an Asian. And yet he was not. He was so American, and his name was Nazaro. And every time he was like, so when he came, cause his father was, he came to, Coney Island with us a lot around those, times. But, George Nazaro was just wild. They lived in all these different places, but he never spoke with any kind of accent, and he was a great, wild, crazy guy. He was really great, great hockey, street hockey player, and a funny guy. He was just funny, and we loved to play tricks on him, and he loved to play tricks on him. For the time that he lived in the area and was part of our local, I don't want to say gang, I don't know what it was called, but we local, he's part of our local group there. He was great. He was fun. He was great. But what am I bringing up? I'm bringing up the fact that here is somebody who lived in all these different places at different ages. So he had different experiences than if you reversed it, you know, if reverse the chronology of where he lived and his age, he's in a totally different person. The people we remember from those times are directly related to those times, the characters of those times, and I don't know if you want to call them legendary, but, you know, as time goes on and you tell stories, and this is, I'm not doing a spot here from Molotov Memoirs, but the essence of Molotov Memoirs, the phrase, the idea of a Molotov memoir, I'd like to think I created, is to take the reality and flavor it with the unreality, or the legend of, right, in making up something. Those are legendary stories because they're real things, real people, and flavored with what we think we remember about them, And you add on to that so many things that are not true and never happened, right? So that kind of stuff goes on. That's a Molotov memoir, which is just a phrase I made up, and it works. So if that becomes urban legend, or that becomes part of the urban dictionary, then bless me for doing it. I've contributed something. Thank you very much. It's not, but we all have them. And so George, and we all have them based on where we were at the time and who we were with and what our age, because we're different. We should be. You can't be the same at 50 as you were at 25. You can't think the same. How can you? There are people who do. I know that. It's a shame. and the armor, you see, if you don't shed the armor, if you don't shed the skins, through experience and all that, you lose things like Coney Island. You lose them. I don't lose it. It got me. It made me something at that time. It made me something. I take that with me everywhere I go. And that's why when we talk about, you know, the amusement park, the Coney Island of the mind is indeed all of those things that were, are now cataloged in your mind and then shoved in your subconscious where there are files and there are sensations and feelings and electrons and things are, things buzzing and igniting, right? But neurons and neutrons and quantum, pieces of information. Quantum pieces of information. The whole information is, there are, you know, you see, there was no Dada news. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know? So there. What do we have coming up in the next? So that's the, that's, you know, I could go on and it would just be another, a bunch of poetic pieces of words and phrases and feelings. But I'm not going to at the moment. I'm going to tell you that coming up. Oh boy. Look at already what we've done. Remember early in the year we were going to do the Reddit page? I haven't been to Reddit since I said forget it. Reddit? Forget it. It's just too much. And that's already gone. The subreddit. No, we're not going to do that. We're on Facebook, and I'm not liking Facebook. It's really getting on my nerves because, because if you put a block ad thing in there, if you put someone told me today that the reason I'm getting it freezes, and then this rectangle window comes up and goes, there's a script that's trying to run, but you won't let it. It's like, right. Because you make all your billions of dollars on Facebook and leave me alone. I don't want it. Stop it. Just let me do what I got to do and get the hell out of there. But if you want to be my friend on Facebook, go ahead. Ask me. I'm Frank Cotolo, and I'm there. All right? When I think, and Brooklyn, Coney Island, yeah? How about, you know what? I'm going to do this. Because what happened? Jesus, I'm telling you. Yeah, remove. What goes on with some of this junk? Let's see. There you go. yes. Certain things you hear that are related to the whole culture of Brooklyn and this. Where fictional characters lived in Brooklyn, and one of them, Ralph Cramden, who was a character that, it could have been my father, certainly, the resemblance of Jackie Gleason to my father. This music, which is called, the Moonlight, Melancholy Serenade, was a theme to the Honeymooners, which was supposed to be about a pair of poor people, bus driver, and, you know, have you ever seen that? I don't know. Go to YouTube. It's all there. But these, the music, because remember I said sound had to do with the remembering this stuff here? The things that we haven't done, the things I said we were going to do, I don't know. I got notes all over the place, and I really don't care about them. I just care about coming back. We're going to have a whole bunch of papers around here. We're going to have plenty of guests still. They'll be here, and we'll do Dada News or not or whatever. And what else? Be busy, I'll be writing, I'll be doing things, and we'll all be around one way or another, I hope. And I hope you buy some of those Molotov memoirs. Oh, you couldn't help it, you had to put in a... Yes, go buy two books at blurb.com. They're good books. Yeah,
Thank you, Jackie Gleason Orchestra. Da-da-da. End it and run. Okay. So you go buy those books. And if you're anywhere near Coney Island, go take a look. What is it like now? Now, here's one way to gauge how time has changed. I don't remember, in terms of money, I must remember there was this great roller coaster called the Cyclone, and I remember it being 50 cents for one ride on the Cyclone. This was really, at the time, I think it was the steepest drop from, and longest steepest drop from, the first drop, I'm talking, of a roller coaster. It was on the beach of Coney Island, 50 cents. I remember going back there again years later with a friend of mine, two friends of mine, a girl and a guy. I was with the girl and the guy was with us. It doesn't matter. Here's my point. It was $5 for one ride on the Cyclone. That's quite a difference, isn't it? 50 cents to $5. I've lived to see that. $5 for one ride. Great ride, but it didn't change much since it was worth 50 cents, but money changes. That, in essence, is kind of a metaphor for what I'm talking about. The 50-cent rides were taken by people like myself, okay, who were a certain age. Those 50-cent rides may be the ones you remember more than you remember the $5 rides, certainly. I think, well, wait a second. What are we talking about? Of course, different people were taking those rides. Same Cyclone. Maybe safer because they did some stuff, but, right? But, yeah, but. What's the but? The but is different person. Same Cyclone. Oy. Still drinking. Dehydration is the enemy. You can say it. It's like brewery enemy. Brewery enemy. Well, think about your Coney Island. Or not. We'll be back as soon as we can with whoever we can. From our great cauldron of our Hall of Fame guests or whatever, we'll do something. It'll be here because I'm still here until I'm not here. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, Cotolo Chronicles, and I did chronicle. You can get in touch with me, fcotolo@yahoo.com, Facebook, even though I'm not crazy about the place anymore, whatever the case may be. I tell you this. I'll see you soon. If I don't see you, we'll talk, we'll know, whatever happens, do it. I'm trailing off here. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. I've said a lot, and I'll leave you now, because I have nothing more to say.